You want to listen to the Punk News podcast? We got a packed house. It's gonna be a freestyle episode. We got Sammy B in the hizzy. Sammy B, have you ever been referred to as being in the hizzy? And what do you think of being in the hizzy? Or the hovercraft Izzy.
I've never been referred to with anything Izzy, unless like you're talking about me sitting with a drink, because
That's
isn't there like a
fizzy.
drink called Izzy or
Well, a
something?
drink is fizzy.
Oh yeah, it's like the seltzer.
Yeah, like the seltzer.
Yeah.
So if I was sitting or standing with an Izzy, then sure, it's Sammy B and the Izzy. But I think that John, you've figured out a new thing for me. Maybe standing around with cups of beverages, maybe. Does Snoop Dogg get enough credit for literally inventing the idea of, hizzy, thizzy? Like, all of that was invented by Snoop Dogg on Doggy Style, the album. Like, no one did that before him.
I think
Oh.
he should get credited for something great, even though I'm not even sure if he did he even like it, I just think that's his persona, right? He just like Izzyifies everything.
Well, Snoop Dogg is really interesting in that, like, he's a great recording artist, but he's not a great rapper at all. Like, he like rhymes like nonsense words, but he does it with such style and confidence. People like Snoop, and I like Doggy Style. There's some of his dated, however, not to get too political off the bat, but Sammy B, Snoop Dogg performing at Trump's inauguration. What's up with that, Snoop Dogg?
Sam's opinion is he got an opportunity and he took it. Now, does Sam's morals and stuff like that align with that? But he made a choice.
My opinion is the following. Snoop Dogg is a businessman first and foremost, which is fine. And he's made no bones about that. All his albums are about like making money to a degree. However, he also does often represent some sort of social commentary. Actually, he represents that quite a bit, especially on his mid-period albums. So you can't represent yourself as having some sort of social commentary about, standing up for black people or poor people or however you want to phrase it, and then performing for Trump. So I'm saying it's hypocritical and he's selling out on his values, and I don't think he cares, and he'll just bounce back because he's one of these guys that every no matter what, I mean, how many terrible albums has he put out? And it just bounced. Remember when we went Rasta? Like nothing sticks to him, everything just bounces off of him. But I did lose some respect for Snoop Dogg. But on the other hand, I never held Snoop Dogg as like the ultimate champion because Snoop Dogg's got some whack lyrics too. Some kind of not that I think every MC needs to be a more an icon of morality or whatever. But when you really denigrate women repeatedly, it gets a little down, and Snoop Dogg somehow skated past that for some whatever reason, just because he appears likable. But people have forgotten about that, and I think Snoop Dogg is more, first and foremost, a businessman, but he's also good at projecting what he thinks people want him to be, and I think he's kind of a phony in that respect. But then again, he's got some great songs and a great album and more. What's happening?
Yes.
How's it going?
Your thoughts about
Well,
Snoop?
what you thought about, and what you thought about Snoop?
I think it's shitty that I performed at the Trump inauguration, or not inauguration, whatever, performed for him. But yeah.
Hold on, we're asking a Canadian to weigh in.
Didn't stop Thank
Elon
God he's
Musk.
not Canadian.
Ah!
Actually, he's South African.
But he's got Canadian citizenship though. He bought it.
Wait, have you seen the petition going around to get it revoked?
I hope they do.
I don't
He's
know
an
how many
ass.
signatures it has, but it has like it surpassed the amount it was supposed to get. And then like there are so many Teslas like around, so a lot of them are like people putting stickers over the T. It's like no one will ever know this was a Tesla.
Are you sure they're not burning them? Because at this
Oh,
point,
yes.
like, actually, we should just open all of the Teslas and pack it with trash pandas or raccoons, whatever you want to call them, and just give them homes at this point.
Yeah, because then they actually like serve a purpose,
Exactly.
like they are
Or just
supporting
start putting trash
the
in it.
ecosystem. We are running out
And
of dumpsters.
Sam, public vandalism of Teslas, approve or disapprove?
Sure, why not?
Who cares?
I would never suggest anyone does anything illegal, but I will say there are some things that I feel sorry for people about when bad things happen, and some people I don't feel as sorry. So that's I'll leave it at that. Let's talk about punk rock. Well, actually, we are talking about punk rock. I mean, we're talking about politics. That's very punk rock. And you know, yet again, and I'm you know, I'm not gonna get too off on the misery tangent, but yet again, I've been coming across some of these guys that are like pro-Trump and punk rock or whatever. Well, there's this one guy I know that he loves the golden age of hip hop, 80s hip hop. He loves it. But he's way pro-Trump, and I'm like, the amount of mental gymnastics you have to go to between being punk into punk rock and being into hip hop and then being pro-Trump, it's like bizarre, bizarre, you know?
Yeah, well, some people like to listen to stupidity rhetoric and not fact check anything and believe it.
Well, let's talk about something cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about SummerSlam 8. It got announced today. It's going to be extremely rad.
Yeah.
The Dwarves are going to co-headline. The Dwarves are celebrating Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows, their Record Store Day release, and they're going to be doing hits on top of that. And of course, Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows is the early version of Blood Guts. So if we're, you know, I can, if we're celebrating Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows, you can kind of guess what our special set is going to be, and I think you'll be pretty thrilled by that. And of course, they're doing hits, and that's going to be cool. Also, co-headlining is the original gangsta rapper, who was a huge influence on Snoop, huge influence on Ice Cube, huge influence on Beastie Boys, huge influence on Ice-T, huge influence on the Ghetto Boys, friggin' Schoolie D, and that's going to be awesome. Plus, Pink Soap, which is Philly Riot Girl, plus the Noid, which is long-running Philly Punk, and Lips of Cold, which is Philly Death Rock, and it's going to be friggin' awesome. And I am super psyched. July 31st at Philomoka, and it's going to be rad. And we're going to have exclusive Doors records that you can only get for sale at that show. Plus, Pink Soap is going to have exclusive cassettes. Lips of Cold are going to have exclusive cassettes, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's what's going down on Philly in Philly. And it looks like we're going to have Sade of LA Witch joining us on the podcast relatively soon. So she'll be joining in on the podcast soonish. That'll be fun. But before Sade hops on, let's talk about a little bit of news. And here's what's happened. Let's do some RIPs, sadly.
Oh,
A
yeah.
lot of great musicians died this week and last week, quite sadly. So that was kind of a bummer, man. Clem Burke of Blondie passed away, which was a big bummer. Clem Burke, definitely legendary drummer. I saw him with the Hugh Cornwell band one time, and it was freaking awesome. And he was only 70, early 70, I think, or 70. Died of after battling with cancer. Amazing drummer, and everyone that knew him said he was a real good guy. The Melvin said he was a real good guy. Cornwell said he's a real good guy. I think the Sex Pistols said he's a real good guy. Blondie, the band, of course, was real sad. So that's definitely sad. Also, Dave Allen of Gang of Four passed away. He hasn't been in the band for a little while, but Gang of Four, legendary band, and he's on all the classic albums. So that was pretty sad, too. Em, I don't know if you have any comments on Blondie or Gang of Four.
They're both surprises, to be completely honest, because it was like I saw the news and I'm like, what? Like that can't be, you know, like I know they're getting up there, but I didn't, well, with Clem Burke especially, I didn't know he was like sick. I didn't know anything was going on, and like in the post, right, it was like it was a private battle, but I was just really surprised with both of them. They both made a incredible mark on music, and yeah, it's just sad.
Okay. And we're going to play a song. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Sade of LA Witch. We're going to play Icicle, the first track off LA Witch's brand new album. I've heard it. It's rad. The album is called Dog God. And this song is Icicle. And we'll be right back.
Exposing me.
And we're back. Sade, thanks for coming to the podcast. It's a thrill to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What I would say about Dog God is first, I mean, LA Wish has been around a little while. Dog God, I like it a lot. It's to me, it's got, I mean, a lot of people were referencing kind of like post-punk, like Joy Division or New Order, or kind of that cold spookiness. But to me, it kind of had like that Astral Hawkwind quality, which for me is gold. I love the new album. I think it's real cool. I love the title, Dog God. And what's interesting about the record is Sade, and I'm gonna let Sade talk about this, is Sade was talking about how Dog God is a palindrome, from the famous story Hannah is a palindrome. And it's kind of a duality in that dog is kind of seen as subservient and God is being seen as supreme. So it's kind of a reflection of itself, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's definitely like a mirror image of the two words, and I mean, visually it's like super cool, but also there's a lot of songs with like the theme of love in it. And I think that when you're in love, like you have a feeling of having power, like you have this strength, like you feel euphoric, you feel like untouchable on top of the world, like a high. You know, you feel like you can achieve anything. And at the same time, you feel like you are like dependent on this feeling, like it's a drug, you know, kind of like the way dogs can feel with their owners or their masters or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's like they need that. And so I think that was kind of like where that duality comes to place. So yeah.
The theme of love is actually throughout the record. I don't know if it's on every song, but it's on a lot of the songs on the LP. When we say love, do we mean romantic love? Do we mean brotherly love? Do we mean love of humanity? What kind of, or do we mean familial love? What kind of love are we talking about here?
I think this could be, I mean, when I was writing these songs, I mean, it was mostly romantic love, but I also kind of, you know, had other types of love in mind too. Like even the love of like the, you know, like the sense of like a higher, I don't want to use the word God because it becomes too like religious or whatever, but there is this like feeling of like this, you know, higher thing that's bigger than us, you know, like this kind of supernatural, like this untangible thing. And so it's, and I think that's something that we all have within ourselves, you know. So I think that's like a part of it. But yeah, I mean, I think this could be all kinds of loves, but definitely I was mostly thinking in a romantic sense.
Not to get too trippy, but we do get kind of trippy on the Pung News podcast. You know, the cover has got, you know, kind of the hands praying. Maybe it looks like a knight, you know, kind of a Knights Templar holding a cross. The promo picture has you all in front of a giant cross. When we're using the cross, do we mean the cross? Well, do we mean it in the Roman sense? Do we mean it in the biblical sense? Or are we just using it as kind of an abstract symbol of, you know, the larger universe?
Yes, it's definitely like an abstract symbol, and it's like a really powerful symbol, and there is a lot of symbolism in the record too, and a lot of the lyrics. And I mean, I've always loved symbolism because I've felt that it's like the language to the subconscious, you know, like there's the language can be so limited, and with like visual like symbolism, it kind of goes deeper into the subconscious because you're not really sure why this makes you feel a certain way, and you don't know how to explain those certain feelings, but you just know something. It's almost like when you're, you know, like having to explain a dream, and you're like, I don't know how I knew this in my dream, but I just did, you know? So it's kind of like the same thing. And so I think that, you know, I think it was really cool to use like the cross as like something very powerful. And I don't, you know, obviously we have like dog God in the title, so it kind of like made sense, you know.
You know, I realize I'm being somewhat presumptive and like, Sade, do you like talking about the heavy topics found in the record? Or are you the kind of artist that says, I just put it out there and I don't want to explain it and I just want people to take what they can take from it? You know what I mean?
To be honest, I don't really like talking about it, but I realize that's kind of like a part of like the process when you're putting out a record. Like I've always felt like a little bit like kind of like I don't really know how to explain these things, you know, and also I'd like to leave room for interpretation for the listeners because that's how they connect, you know, and sometimes like it's like a part of like the cool thing is the mystery, you know, but you know, I'm learning how to like find that like medium where you can kind of like, okay, I want to give like an explanation so that something's not too abstract, you know, and at the same time leave enough space for like the listener, you know. So that's something I'm still kind of like navigating my way around with.
Well, how about this? If the listeners don't know, they should check out LA Witch. The whole band is cool. Sade is rad as hell because Sade's in a rad band. She plays guitar, super rad. She drives a motorcycle. She boxes or kicks boxes or something. So, Sade, do you feel like, and she, the band itself is called LA Witch, which is cool. And actually, I want to talk about witchy stuff in a second. But, Sade, do you feel rad? Like, do you feel like you're on top of the world? How do you feel?
At times, yeah. I mean, when I'm doing the things I love, like I don't think I think like, yeah, like I'm cool, you know, but I feel good. So I guess that must be like, you know, the same thing. I mean, I'm just like I feel I like to I'm a very curious person. I like to, you know, discover and stay inspired and stay active. And so that's kind of why I always have these like different hobbies and things that I end up getting myself into. It's, you know, it's the world is that has, there's so much cool shit to like explore, you know.
The description of Dog God says that LA Witch is effortlessly cool, and I would agree that LA Witch is effortlessly cool, but here's the question. Can you put effort into being cool? I kind of like I'm definitely not cool, and I feel like you can be weird or you interesting or unusual, but I feel like coolness, like you can't force coolness, but maybe you can. Can someone force coolness or is it truly effortless? You know what I mean?
I haven't really thought about that. I mean, I think because I think weird is pretty cool. I think like there's all different types of cool. I don't know. I mean, I think when you as long as you're doing like you, I think that's cool. And I'm sure that you can also put effort into something and also be cool, you know, but I don't think that's really something that like I have thought about.
Sade, who is cool that most society would say is not cool?
Oh
I'm
man,
putting
I
Sade on the
guess.
spot, so I'm going to vamp while
Yeah,
Sade thinks that over.
that's.
LA Witch is going on tour actually next week, so I assume I guess maybe they're practicing or whatever right now. They start out in Sacramento on April 19. They go all over the USA. You know, oh, they actually they go up to Canada too for a couple of shows, which is cool. So they start on the West Coast, they go to the Midwest, then they come out to the East Coast. They're going to be in Philadelphia, so I'll be in Philadelphia. If you see me, people, come slap me five. They jump down to Washington, D.C., head on down south to Texas, and then back for a long run of California shows. You definitely should see LA Witch live because they are super rad. And actually, I'm looking at the promo poster right now, and in the left side, it's got DOG going down and GOD going from left to right, which is kind of a cool symbol. It feels kind of Celtic or something like that. It looks pretty
Yeah.
cool. So, Sade, who is cool that most people think is not cool?
Well, man, I don't know. I don't really know. That's a really tough question. I thought Marvin the Martian was really cool. I don't think that's everyone's favorite like Looney Tune character.
I think that's a really good answer. Marvin the Martian is very cool. Oh, another thing I wanted to ask about, and not to get too trippy, but I'm going to get a little. This will be my last trippy line of questioning. Then we'll bring it back down to earth. You know, I was thinking about. I love. You know, often we see in LA witches music. We often see, you know, cosmic concepts or metaphysical concepts or however you want to talk about it. The band is called LA Witch. Sade, when we say witch, do we just mean witch as a symbol for controlling one's own destiny? Or do we mean witch as an actual witchy powers? You know what I mean? Do you believe in actual witchy powers?
I believe in powers, like I believe in energy. I believe in like, you know, that you can manifest things. I believe that I mean like yeah, I believe in I don't know if you it's all can be categorized under like witchiness. Or maybe it can, I don't know. But really like when we were coming up with the band name, I thought it was a cool way to kind of hint that like, hey, this is like a female band, but I didn't want it to be like, you know, like I don't know, because at that time I thought it was cool that we just all happened to be girls because it was a little bit rare in that time and hard to find other female musicians. So I thought it was a good way of like hinting that, like, and which was taken, obviously. So we just put LA in front of it and kind of gave it like a punk, like gang vibe. So that's kind of like the reason for the band name. But I do believe in like, you know, energy and just, I don't know, weird zodiac signs, whatever, like rocks, you know, moons and whatever, all that stuff. Like, sure, you know, I don't practice any like real magical stuff myself or anything, but you know, I mean, I believe in it.
This album was recorded in Gay Paris, which is pretty cool. Did the city and or studio influence the record, or is it, or is that like a thing that doesn't really influence a record? You know what I mean?
No, I think it does, and a lot of the lyrics were written in France. I was actually working on another project at the time, so I was spending a lot of time in Paris, which is how I stumbled upon the studio. Is the person that I was working with, like, he was like, "Oh, you should check out this studio. Just like come inside and like check it out." And I was like, "Oh, okay," and I walked in and. I mean, it's you couldn't tell that there would be a studio behind these doors, you know. And so when we went in, it was like all of a sudden it was like we're in another world, and it was super warm, super beautiful, and obviously they had great gear, a lot of synths, and just like I was like, whoa, we need to record here. And at the time it seemed like kind of like too, I was like, I have no idea how I'm gonna make this happen, but I feel like I have to make this happen. Like, there's no way that I just came across the studio. And at that time, we were trying to figure out where we wanted to record. And so I felt like it was kind of like one of those things that I mean, like, you know, it kind of felt like it was a part of our destiny or whatever, you know, like, and then I kept getting these like signs everywhere. Like, it was on a street called Rue des Martyrs, which is like, you know, Street of the Martyrs. And so I was like, oh, that really goes into like this thing that I'm working on lyrically. And so it all started to just really come together. And then I was obviously there was like a lot of when I started playing, like, for example, like coming up with Eyes of Love, like I was like, this sounds like a medieval type of like guitar thing, you know, like there's something like Renaissance-ish about it. And so I was like, okay, let's go that route. But like, so I kind of started to like explore that. And then as I was writing like lyrics and stuff, looking out of like a lot of like mythology and just like all sorts of, I don't know, I kind of just dove deep into like weird things and found a lot of inspiration there. And gosh, I forgot where I was going with this. What was your, oh yeah, if it did inspire us. And so to answer that, yes, I mean, during the writing process, during the recording process, because, you know, every day we're walking, you know, through Les Abysses in Montmartre to get to Mortar Base. And so you're like seeing all these cool, beautiful things, architecture, buildings, like people, you know, you're walking across through like Montmartre Cemetery to get to the studio. And so I do think you carry that energy with you, and then you put that into the music, whether that's like on a subconscious level or on a conscious level. And obviously there's a lot of, I mean, like we don't have like medieval shit in the US, you know, that all comes from like Europe and France especially. I mean, Paris is one of the oldest cities in Europe. And you know, if you look at the album artwork, there's red, whites, and blues, which is like the colors of France and the colors of the US as well. So I thought that was a very cool connection. And it's also the colors of the revolution. So they're really powerful colors to me that I wanted to put, you know, consciously on the artwork.
Well said. What else was I going to say about? I was going to say, oh, with regards to, what was I going to say about Paris? I was going to say something about Paris, but I forgot what it, oh, the French people. Were they cool to you or were they dicks? Because, you know, French people don't always have a great, how did the French people treat you? You
You
know?
know, I know there's a lot of talk about that, and maybe it's because I've been spending so much time there, and maybe it's certain areas too where it's like, yeah, if you're hanging out around like touristy places, of course, like people are going to treat you maybe like dicks or whatever, but like if you know your way around. I mean, I think French people are actually really nice. They just it's culturally like sometimes a little bit different. Like it could be shocking. Like for example, like they're pretty direct, you know? And like I realize that in the US we're always trying to like kind of tiptoe around each other's feelings and we're like trying to find a way to word it so that we don't hurt somebody. And they're just like say it how it is. And like they don't mean it to like hurt your feelings. They just don't know any other way, you know? And so I think maybe it's like a cultural difference. And also there's a lot of words that when you translate them, they don't actually mean this have the same meaning. I can't think of like some more like words right now, but there's a lot of them where it's like so there's like a weird translate like things that can get lost in translation.
I lied. I'm going to throw another trivia question at you. Then I promise it'll be my last trivia question I throw at you. You talked about how if there's something that you like or something that you love that you if you put your energy into it, it kind of pays out or grows. Is your perspective in life, the bad brains adage, PMA, positive mental attitude, or is it kind of the Nick Blinka rudimentary peni thing? Like, there is only chaos and you just have to struggle through the chaos. What's your perspective in life?
I agree with both, but I'm gonna say that it's probably easier to go with the bad brains attitude, just because it's because it really is both. It's just a matter of which way which pick your poison, I feel like you kind of can radiate like the positive energy and can spread that and attract other positive energy. So I think it's not always easy to do, and it's like not like I'm like walking around like, hey, it's like I mean I have some really dark, fucked up thoughts and days and shit, and that's where a lot of the album lyrics come from too. There's a lot of lyrics about like death and shit, and that's just like human, like that's just it's just what it is to be human, like we all have these fucked up thoughts, at
Well,
some point. I mean, I hope.
I've got a few more questions for
Okay.
Sade. Once again, the new record, Dog God by the band LA, which is out now on Suicide Squeeze. Awesome label. Awesome home to one of my other favorite bands in LA, which the Coat Hangers, who are rad as hell as well. Actually, Sade, do you think we'll ever get a new Coat Hangers record or you don't know?
Oh man, I'm really hoping like they're one of my favorite bands live. They're the coolest girls. Honestly, the first time I saw them was around the time we started, and I was so intimidated by them. I was like scared because they were like the coolest girls that I've ever seen live. And a few months later, we ended up going on tour with them, and now we're on the same label as them. And so that's a really cool connection for me. But I don't know. I can't say anything, but I feel like. I mean, everyone has to like live their own lives. They've been together for so long, and I totally get that. And so hopefully at some point in the future they will. But I mean, who knows, I can't really say.
The coat hangers, one of the many things I love about the coat hangers is they seem pretty tough. You know what I mean? They seem kind of dangerous. Are the
Yeah.
coat hangers as dangerous as their onstage persona suggests?
I'm gonna say yes. Like they're really sweet. Like really nice girls, but they're not the girls that you want to fuck with for sure. They're definitely tough girls.
Well, speaking of cool people, one of the cool things about Sade is she's got a killer record collection. And I think you DJ, don't you DJ? I've
Yeah,
seen
sometimes I.
Sade's, I think Sade, a couple of times, she's done like pictures of records she's bringing the spin. I think I've seen like Psychic TV in there. I think I've seen, some classic Rolling Stones in there. I think I've seen some, I'm trying to think some other far out, probably some Jell-O, Dead Kennedy stuff in there, but also, some, maybe some Crass, some heavy duty stuff. Sade, what musically, what's influencing you right now, if anything? Or is music not influencing you and life itself is influencing you?
Well, musically, I mean, on the way here to my friend's house, I was actually listening to like classical music. Mogorowski is a Russian composer, and he was a composer that was actually self-trained, and but I listened to that's just what I was listening to on the way here right now. But To tie it more into the record, at the time of the record, a lot of the influences were Rick Agnew. He's the guitarist of the Adolescents, who also played in Christian Death, which is actually a really cool link because the Adolescents is such a, like, for me, like one of the top like influential bands, like growing up in California, Southern California. Like they're like punk and have that surfy thing. And then Rick Agnew also played in Christian Death, which is like, the death rock. So it's a very cool like tie with the surf rock and then the goth rock, which I feel like we kind of put in this album. Another I don't know if you guys are familiar with a band called Malaria, Alien Sex Fiend, Celtic Frost, obviously, like, stuff like Bauhaus, Tones on Tail. Trying to think of other ones that were yeah, those are some, to name a few, that were inspirations, especially like with the production and the guitar tone on Dog God.
So I got two more random questions, then one more question about the album. Then we're gonna play a song. We're gonna come back and do the news. Sade, if you'd like to stick around for the news, we'd love to have you stick around. But if you gotta go, that's cool too. So two quick questions. You mentioned Celtic Frost, who I love, and you also mentioned another band that I love. Who's the other band? Wait, well, anyway, with Celtic Frost, and this isn't even really a question, it's a statement. You can react to it. I saw Celtic. Well, actually, it was Triptychon does all of no, it was Hellhammer, Triumph of Death, which is the reunited Hellhammer, however you want to phrase it. And Tom G Warrior comes out. He's wearing all black like Sade. He looks rad as hell. The band sounded awesome. And he kept saying, "I know we're old, so thank you for coming out." And I got so annoyed at him. I'm like, "You're kicking ass. You don't look old. You look like Tom G Warrior. Why are you saying you're old? Like, just kick ass and shut up and kick ass." You know what I mean? What is your, oh, and here's my other question. So my first question is, what is your advice to legacy rockers in regards to their own, perhaps feeling self-conscious about not being the spring chicken? And also Peter Murphy, Bauhaus, amazing band. Is Peter Murphy ever going to get it together? Because I want him to get it together. And so where are we at, Sade, with both those questions? Then I promise I will ask you about your record and then we'll play a tune. Go ahead.
Well, gosh, it's really hard to like give advice to people who are like beyond you and stuff, but let's just say they want my advice. I don't know, for whatever reason. I mean, I just would say, like, I read Kim Gordon's book, and there was one part that really stuck out to me, and she's like, people pay money to come see people who believe in themselves, which is so true. Like, the reason at least for me, it's like I want to be inspired. I want to have like my mind blown. I want someone to look up to. I want, And so just think about that. Like, they're ready for you. They've already bought the ticket, like they already believe in you. So now you just have to like blow their minds, and all you have to do is do your thing, because that's what they're coming for. So always think about that. Now, as far as Bauhaus goes, I don't know if Peter Murphy will get his shit together. Let's hope he does, but the good thing is that Daniel Ash, hopefully, I mean, I saw him play with Tones on Tail, and that was a pretty good show. So if Peter Murphy doesn't get it together, at least we have Daniel Ash, which is a fucking amazing show, and his guitar tone is amazing. So
Well,
but go
speaking of amazing guitar tones, we're talking Dog God. I love the title. To me, it reminds me of Anubis, the Egyptian dog-headed god. That's what I think of when I hear Dog God. I realize that in the album, it's kind of a reflection of itself, but to me, it's a singularity. Just like any great art, you can make it your own. Sade, last question with regards to the new album, Dog God, out now via Suicide Squeeze Records. And then we're gonna play I Hunt, You Prey. Real cool title, real cool song. What should or what can or what would you like people to take from the new record?
I mean, I hope that it can inspire them in any way. I mean, I hope it makes them feel good. I hope it like is a good support when if they're feeling sad and they need to listen to a sad song. I hope it's something they could cry to, dance to, jam to, whatever. Like, I mean, it's kind of like do what you want with it. It's there in the world, so like, I don't know.
Well, there you have it. Do what you will, as Sade says. Sade, we're going to play track. Do you want to stick around for the news, or do you have to get out there and keep rocking?
I'll stick around.
Great, because I want to ask you about Slayer. So we're going to play So we're gonna give Shadi a little bit of a break. I'm gonna talk to Em and Sam. They're gonna ask Shadi about Slayer and some other things, including Firefest, which is my favorite story ever. No, second favorite story ever that we run punk news. Anyway, this is I Hunt You Pray by LA Witch out now. Definitely see and you gotta see him on tour. East Coast. No, well, I'm sorry, West Coast starts later this month, runs all the way through May and then into June. You have definitely gotta see this band, people. They're awesome live. And we will be right back. And we're back. I'm going to give Sade a little bit of a break. And M, Slayer, despite the fact that they broke up and reunited like 2 months later, and
yes.
despite the fact that Kerry King is like, I've got my own band now. I don't need Slayer. And then Slayer got back together like right away. They've announced a bunch of shows, and they've announced their only East Coast show of the year, they said, which is going to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where they make chocolate bars, about 2 hours from me. It's going to be Slayer, Knock Loose, the Cavalera Brothers doing all of either Roots or Earth AD. I'm not Earth AD, Chaos AD. I think it's Chaos AD. Also, Exodus. Sadly, Steve Zutra just left the band, my favorite vocalist of the band. However, Rob Dukes is back in the band, and I think there's like one or two other bands playing. It's a big mega fest. So, first of all, M, Slayer. Do you care about Slayer in 2025, or is it because it's not 1992 anymore, no one cares, and it's just reenactment? How do you feel about Slayer? Would you go? And M, did I
yes.
or did I not buy tickets to see Slayer in the East Coast?
First of all, yes, you did.
I did. Good call.
I'm going to go with still relevant. You know, like, it's not like you need to be like young to like shred on the guitar, you know what I mean? Like, it's still gonna be a cool show, I'm sure, you know.
So I'm gonna throw
Yeah.
this to Sade, and then I'm gonna throw it to Sam. So I used to see Slayer all the time in the 90s, and it was, and maybe it was because it's Philadelphia where people like to get drunk and fight because they hate themselves in Philadelphia. But Slayer in Philadelphia was, and people, some people, I mean, I don't know if people necessarily believe it these days, but Slayer in Philadelphia in the 90s was dangerous. Like, there was jacked up rednecks, jacked up literal neo-Nazis saying like, I'm going to get in a fight tonight. I'm going to get in a fight tonight. And literally for 3 hours in the pit, it was dudes brawling. And back then I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. Just like, it was like literally dangerous. I feel bad for the bouncers now in retrospect, because they're in a literal 3 hour fist fight. I remember we were 16. My friend's little brother got picked up, hurled against the soundboard, flipped over the soundboard guard. The soundboard guys run over and start beating him up. And it's like, he's like 14. They throw him out. It was Dave Lombardo at the time. Actually, it was probably Paul Bostaff. Throws his stick out into the crowd. It lands in my friend Sean's hands. He gets dogpiled. He gets beat up. Like, it was literal. It was dang. Like, Slayer was literally dang. I'm not going to say it was like a murder scene, but like, I saw one guy literally bite his tongue off, literally, like his tongue was hanging out of his mouth.
Shit.
I saw one guy break his arm, like going the wrong direction. Like, it was pretty crazy. And at the time, I thought it was rad. Now, these days, it's a lot of, these days, I would say that's a lot of meat-headed, needless violence when you're just going to have a good time and enjoy art. But on the other hand, 16-year-old me or 18-year-old me would counter and say, well, John, that's how powerful that art is. And the crowd ritual of danger is part of the art. And when you go see, I'm not dissing Ben Folds, I like Ben Folds. When you go see Ben Folds, he plays the piano, people sit there and clap, and like, oh, Ben Folds. But when people went to see Slayer, it was like nonstop chaos. And it summoned something that you don't see kind of outside that. So Sade, the dangerous Slayer show of the 90s, cool art or meat-headed brainlessness?
It's so hard to say. I wasn't there, but I feel like, I mean, I guess it's just, it was probably like cohesive to the time, you know? So there's probably got to be a little bit of, just like now, it's like, dude, if you saw that shit go down right now, you'd be like, oh, fuck, no, because we know
right.
better. We know better now. We have the internet. We have, you know, like at the time then, I mean, I think to some extent, like, yeah, there's fun. I mean, I've, you know, gotten mosh pits as a teenager and, you know, whatever. I mean, I never, like, ripped anyone's arm off or anything like that. But, like, I think there's a balance to it. And I mean, there is an energy with that music. And it's like you kind of could expect a little bit of, like, hard dancing and mixed with alcohol and whatever else there is. It's, like, kind of to be expected. But, it's hard to say, you know. It's like a you got it. There's it has to be a fine balance.
You know, Sammy B, I was talking to Colin of Sit and Spin Records, and I was saying, I wonder if the reason shows aren't that crazy anymore is because people have been made more sedate, you know, which is not a good thing. But Colin countered, no, people are kind of more educated or aware, and that like meathead bullshit is no longer accepted. Sammy B, where do you stand on the fact that really, like, even punk shows really usually aren't that crazy anymore? You know?
Yeah, I think there's a level of wokeness that is happening, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? And the fact that we have cell phones with cameras to capture all of the insane, ridiculous things that happens in pits, and then it goes viral and you get canceled. So there's like, a level of that is happening that, no one wants to get their careers or life disheveled because they did something stupid in a pit, unless you're 15 and you just don't care about consequences, because that stuff does happen. But like, if you're like 40 and you're doing that, like, we've seen tons of it happen where, like, people are now internet sleuthing and finding their Facebook accounts and Instagram accounts and yelling at them through it, and you don't even know the person, Yeah, so I think there's just a lot more awareness that your actions actually mean something to someone else. So, you might think that it's okay to start throwing fists and legs and stuff and rip other people's arms out of sockets, because Slayer said so. But it might not be okay. And I'm sure right now in America, we don't want to be paying for other people's medical bills because we can't even afford our own. So, yeah, those are my valid points, I think.
And how about the fact that Tom Araya still uses the exact same stage banner as Decade of Aggression, which was 35 years ago? He does the exact same lines at every show, every Slayer show. What, you gotta watch out for each other. If someone falls down, pull them up. What are we here to do? Help each other out, right? Like literally verbatim every time. And
Wait,
what do you think
John,
of
are
that?
you going to record this and like call him out
Yes.
every single time?
Yeah, I'll call out Tom Araya just because he seems. I mean, Tom Araya, if you ask me, second best thrash singer anywhere. But he seemed he's made it clear that he does not care about Slayer at all. And if he doesn't care, why should I care? But I still do care, you know. M, what's your stance on Tom Araya's recycled stage banner? Is it a throwback or should he freshen it up?
I think he really wants to act. I think he really wants to be in plays or be in musicals or be in the theater somehow because he's memorized a script and he's good at it.
You know, I shouldn't talk trash on, well, I shouldn't talk trash on Slayer. I do love Slayer. And we had Dave Lombardo on the podcast like 3 weeks ago, and he was cool as hell, although he's not in Slayer now. Anyway, Dave Lombardo, the man. Here's someone who's not the man. Firefest has stated that, of course, Firefest is this summer at Woman Island in literally Isla de Mujeres, Woman Island, which is kind of cool. And of course, the listeners probably know Firefest is Billy McFarlane, who scheduled a festival about 3 or 4 years ago and then went to jail for wire fraud. And the festival fell apart and almost no band showed up. Well, Billy McFarlane says Firefest 2 is now happening. I've read reports that tickets are for sale, but I can't find tickets for sale anywhere. He is saying that he has permits. Meanwhile, the town itself is saying that there are no permits. So I'll throw this to Sam. Sam, is Fire Festival 2 going to happen? And B, I said 1 and B. One, is Fire Festival going to happen? And two, if someone buys a ticket to Fire Fest, do they deserve what they get?
Okay, I think this is the same outcome as the first one when we discussed it. I don't think number two is happening because if people are saying there's no permits and, whatever, if tickets were sold and people actually have, because I'm looking on Wikipedia here, it says that the first 100 tickets were sold for $499. And it's supposed
Wow.
to go up. Wow. If you bought one of those tickets for $499, good for you for investing in possibly a Ponzi scheme again. And or well, I don't know, whatever, call it some kind of like weird scheme. And if this doesn't happen, Sam's going to be here going, yeah, didn't learn from the first. I would love to believe that human beings are smarter than this, but I sometimes have a disbelief that humans can be smart. So this might be one of those times. Sorry, you guys.
I found tickets online. Fuego tickets are $1,400, but I'm looking up the other prices. And here you go. Let me take a quick look. I don't know if that's the most. And then there's,
John, are you going?
I'm definitely going. I'm seeing how much Ignite tickets are. Oh no, Ignite, they're all the same price. That's weird. Sade,
Yeah.
Billy McFarlane and Firefest, Ponzi Scheme Mastermind, or Crazy Kid with a Dream.
I think he just didn't know what he was doing, honestly, and he like had a dream, but then like he ended up screwing a bunch of people because he didn't realize like, yeah, I don't know. It's probably a mix of both, honestly. I don't know.
I'm gonna bounce the question to M, but I would like Sade to think about Sade's dream festivals, five bands at least. You can pick more if you want. M, do people that buy tickets just deserve what they get, or should we have sympathy for people that are giving Billy McFarlane $1,400?
If you have $1,400, send it to me. I'll make better use of it than he will.
That's probably true.
You won't get anything.
Yes.
You'll get the knowledge that you helped someone live.
And do you think he's going to go to jail again? I feel like he. Oh wow! So five is $5,000 tickets. That's Fuego, $5,000.
Okay.
$25,000 is Phoenix,
What's the
and
difference?
I'll tell you, here's what Phoenix gets you.
Okay. This is tiered. This
Oh
sounds like a
my
cult. Are you
God!
buying yourself into a cult?
What if I convince my bizarre to convince myself to go to Firefest? It includes access to the festival grounds through Playa del Carmen. Backstage access to the water stage, pit side access to the fight pit. I don't know what the fight pit is.
A fight pit.
A curated itinerary of fire
Oh
experiences,
no.
transportation, and a personal concierge for 25 grand. Or how about for 100? Wow, $1,100,000. Here's what you get. They don't tell you. They say they're working on it. So I don't know what you
My
get for
God.
that. So, anyways. Sade, the Dream Sade Fest. What are some bands that are playing the Dream Sade Fest?
Bauhaus, you mentioned reunions. Well, let's go
Nice.
with Bauhaus. Let's go with The Cure, because I've never seen them before. And let's see what else. Let's say Jesus and Mary Chain. I've seen a bunch of times, but on that fest, it would really make sense. Let's think here. Alien Sex Fiend, that would be really cool to see. What else? Man, I'm drawing blanks here.
Well, that's a pretty cool, pretty gothy lineup. Alien Sex Fiend with one of my favorite industrial singles. I'm doing time in a maximum Twilight Security Home and the I Walk the Line EP, which actually is super killer all the way through. Let's do one more full-on story and then one more quick story, and then we'll wrap this on up. Scowl, the band that everyone's looking at, have released their album. They also released a video for Fantasy. The new album is out now. Are We All Angels is out now. Sam's going to go to try to see him next week. I'm just going to rap a little bit about Scowl. I like Scowl a lot. I love the hardcore record. I like the grunge EP, and I like this LP. But here's where I'm at. I like a lot of it. I don't like the nu metal track, but I like a lot of it. I'm always I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but I'm always maybe it's the right word is when hardcore bands expand beyond hardcore, I love it. But so many of them become more listenable instead of more freaky. When Fucked Up signed to Matador, they became like a college rock band. Now they're back to being freaky, which is cool. When Ceremony kind of grew beyond hardcore, they became kind of like Gary Numan or New Order or Joy Division, which was cool, but maybe not quite as punchy as before and more listenable. Whereas other bands, when they go beyond hardcore, they get even crazier. I'm trying to think, really, that rarely happens, but I had one example. At any rate, I like this record. But the point being is I want to do a review, but I want to do an honest review. Any more, all reviews are either rah, 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 or it's the worst thing ever. We hate it. To me, I've got mixed feelings. Overall, I like it. The problem with Scowl, and even in the Punk News comment section, we get these creeps that clearly hate the band just because it's a female singer. And like if it was like a guy singer, like so many of the creeps in the comment section, they love these like generic bands that sound like Phil Collins or like even like Third Eye Blind, like, oh, this band sounds like Third Eye Blind is the best band ever. And I'm like, Scout is so much better than that. But they literally hate the band simply because she has green hair or blue hair. And it's clear that they hate it and they won't come out and say it. So the point being is, and Em and Sam, give me some advice here as to my review. Not that the world is hinging on my review, but I'm hinging on my review. I want to be mostly positive. There's some things I didn't love. Should I just be total rah-rah because the battle is more important than the individual review? Or should I be honest and kind of slightly leave the door open for the creeps that lounge around that we constantly stomp on, but they seem to come back from the dead even after we stomp on them? And what do you think?
I think you can be honest and also shut the door to creeps.
Well, how?
There's a happy medium. Well, because it's like your issues with it aren't because of like the
My
people who
issue is
are
that
in
I
the
hate nu
band.
metal and it's got nu metal on it. That's my issue. I hate nu metal. I was
Then
there the
talk
first time
about
around.
that. Then lean that way and be like, well, it's not because of anyone who's in the band. It's because this is the direction they're going in, and that's great for them, but it's not, my thing or whatever.
See, but on the other hand, is I don't want to be like not that they're hinging on my. Here's the weird thing is like I'm gonna reveal some confidences here. Jello Biafra reads a lot of his own interviews, and even if just some jackass kid in some zine says something bad about him, like it hurts his feelings, which it really like you're Jello, it should bounce off your skin, like you're top ranking, but it does. And so I don't want to discourage the band from growing in interesting directions. You know what I mean? But on the other hand, like, is this the producer whispering in their ear, or did they really want to do like nu metal? Like, how come all the hardcore bands that move beyond hardcore, like Code Orange, do nu metal? What is up with the nu metal?
Well, nu metal is in again.
It's
One.
terrible, Sam. It's nu metal
Well,
is terrible.
that's what you say, but there is a subset of humans out here that has been waiting for nu metal to rise again, and they're all about it. I'm not necessarily that person, but someone is. John, I think you should write what you want to write. Not to say that punk news is the be all of all things punk, but your one review and your one opinion may or may not affect them because there may be other people writing about them. The totality of everyone's opinions is going to what is going to affect bands. And Sade, you could let me know if I'm incorrect or not, or I'm just crazy because I'm not in a band. But I would have to say you should be true to yourself and write what you want to write. Don't worry about the trolls. The trolls will be shut down eventually.
See, like I'm having flashback to the Vivian girls who were under such a microscope that they got so much unnecessary abuse, you know what I mean? Written abuse. And I don't want to get on that train, you know what I mean? Anyway, Sade, Scout, are you a fan? Do you not know them? Have you heard the new record?
I'm gonna be honest, I've heard of the name for a long time, and I have a lot of friends who I really respect, and especially like their music taste, and they are always like posting about it. But it's one of those things where it's like I sometimes it takes me a minute to get to something. Like you know what I mean? I'm not ready to listen to that yet, especially if something's like constantly in my face. It's like, all right, I want to listen to it when I want to listen to it, not because it's like pushing my face. So I will get to them eventually because I'm very curious. So I don't know what they sound like. Visually, they look super cool. But in terms of like what what your opinions are and sharing your opinions, I think you can be honest, and I think as long as it's not coming from a place of like hate, I
But
think
I
the
hate nu metal. I do hate nu
well,
metal.
that's nu
That's coming
metal,
from a place of hate.
the genre. So I don't think they're going to take it personally, but I mean, I don't know. That just really depends from it's person to person. Like some people are more sensitive than others, And I think it's like it's normal. Like not everybody's going to love your music, and that's kind of a healthy sign, really. Like if you're loved by everybody, that's kind of weird, Like there's something not right about that. So I think that's a healthy sign for any band that like you have people who don't like your music. There's people who love you. There's people who are going to hate it. Whatever. And like, all of us as artists have to just learn to be prepared for everything because the fucking world's hard. The internet's a fucking brutal place, man. There's a bunch of people out there who are ready to like, just unleash like their anger, and I've seen it, and it's happened to me, and it fucking hurts, and then it makes you stronger because then you realize you're like, all right, this isn't real, So I mean,
So,
new metal, and yeah, it's fine. Like,
Some absolute words of wisdom from Sade there. I'm just going to paraphrase or repeat some. If everyone loves you, that's weird, which is so true. And I always say, never trust someone that everyone likes. You know what I mean? So true. She also says, life is hard, which it can be, and very true. And she also says, the internet is weird and sucks or whatever, which is true too. Some wonderful words of wisdom from Sade. We got to wrap it up with that. So let's give Sade one more shout out here. Dog God,
hell
great
yeah.
title. LA Witch. Out now on Suicide. Man, look at the Dog God by LA Witch on Suicide Squeeze. What a triple whammy. Out now. The band's on tour. Sade, any final comments, any closing words, anything you want the people to know about before we close on our last LA Witch song of the evening? And thank you for coming on the show. You've been a total delight.
Thank
Some
you,
really
guys.
wise words and a lot of fun to have on. Any last words for the listeners for this
No, just
episode?
thanks to everybody for listening to the record, and hopefully we'll see everybody out there on the road, and yeah, that's about it.
But there is no end.